It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter. We're going to begin reading back about the 8th verse. We've gotten down into the 12th verse, but we're going to read that full text there. And so you'll enjoy it and just prepare, open your Bibles, and get ready for that reading. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. And we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to call us, our phone number at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to send us a card or a note, it would be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. And again, our address here for the website is parkviewbiblechurch.org. I'd love for you to visit that. I've got many studies there, and so I hope that you would enjoy it, and I hope that it would be a blessing to you and a blessing unto the Lord. And so while you're preparing now and ready for the study, let's begin to read at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning to read with the 8th verse. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We're going to stop with that 18th verse in the reading, and let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come together and enjoy this time. I just ask that you will guide and lead us as we enjoy this study and learn that this prayer here is something, Father, was not to be recited just as it is, but it is just to be an outline, so to speak, one to help us to know how to pray and to instruct us how important it is to pray and for what purpose, to not only ask you for requests and things, but to pray for others, to recognize the relationship that we must have between ourselves and you, dear Father. So please, just guide and lead us each and every day, dear Lord, please. Speak to those hearts, all hearts, whether saved or lost. We pray that those that are lost will hear your calling, and they will turn to you and recognize that they're a sinner and come to you and say, please forgive me for my sin and save me, because we know, dear Father, your Son Jesus will when they come to him. So please, that take place today, and then we begin that wonderful walk. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've gotten down to the place of verse 12, and it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, to forgive our debts, that word debts is transgressions, sins, and a little other way to say it or to look at it, we have violated God's law. So we have a penalty of that law. We have a debt, offense against God. And realize and recognize the only way that that offense can be taken care of is that God would forgive us. So forgive us our debts, our offenses, our sins. Please forgive us. Now, when we come to that point there, you've heard me say many, many times that all of our sins have been taken away as far as the east is from the west. And that is exactly right. In God's, the Father's eyes, we are covered by the precious blood of Jesus, and our sins are gone. But the problem is we live in the flesh. And so we do, because we live in the flesh, we do continue to sin. We do not lose the salvation that God has given us, because the Lord Jesus gave us that when we accepted Him as our Savior. And not only are we given that gift of salvation, but also that gift is sealed. It is closed. It's never to be, that issue is never to be reopened again. Never to be reopened, because it is finished. He finished it for us. But if we really want to have wonderful fellowship with our Lord, then we need to see that as we do continue to commit sin, I know that's hard to understand. That's not concerning salvation. Now we're talking about fellowship. God sealed us, He keeps us, and now we're enjoying the joy of walking with Him, which we have never had before. But there is an issue of fellowship. It's just like your best friend, and all of a sudden you have offended your best friend by something you have done or something you said. Or maybe your spouse, or maybe one of your children has offended you by something they have done or something they have said. How do you get back in to fellowship with them? You get back into fellowship when that person, or maybe you, need to go and ask them to forgive you for what you have done or what you've said. Or maybe your child has to come to you and say, you know, Dad, Mom, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. And when you come and you mean that, truly mean that you're sorry, not sorry that you got caught, but sorry that you did it, why then Mom and Dad come and give you a hug and everything is fine and everything is restored and we're back to fellowship. Well, that's what we need to have with our Heavenly Father. And so when we look through these things and we know that the above was, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So his home, recognizing that, recognizing also to that he is holy, his name is holy, he is holy, we must lift that up. And then pray that this kingdom come, which is the kingdom of heaven, which is going to be something that Jesus will rule and reign here upon earth. And as it says then, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then we come to some daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Not, you know, what we require, the needs, physical needs that we have today. So we've went from a spiritual relationship and also a very literal relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. And we come to then something that is more of a physical nature, give us this day our daily bread. But then we need to understand that in order for us to really be blessed, we must maintain this fellowship. And so, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so we've talked about what the word debt is here. And again, it's sin, it's transgression. And that's something that in this case is when we are asking God to forgive that, this is an offense against Him. And the last part of that says, as we forgive our debtors. Now, this is something that we are expected to do, But the debtor here, now we're coming to a little different relationship, a little different situation as far as we are with man, because the one is an offense and the debtor is something. We are bound to pay our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so when there is a relationship between men, the first is a relationship between ourselves and God. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So the opportunity comes back and forth that as people come to us, have we forgiven them? You know, are we responsible for our physical debts? Are other people pay what you owe is kind of a summary of that just a little bit. The debts means an offense against God, and only God can forgive, and doesn't forgive us just because we have a good fellowship with others. All that comes down to the situation, the circumstances of your heart. In other words, when we call upon God to forgive us, we surely should be able to relate that to our fellow man. We should be able to forgive them for something they have done to us and forgive our debtors. And we have a wonderful verse of Scripture that really meets that. It's very lengthy, but we're going to go there. We'll be there at some point in time in the future here because it is in the book of Matthew. But it's all the way to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew 18, 21. It says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him, till seven times?" Now here's Jesus' response to that. Jesus said to him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be that payment may be made. Verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, saying unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? The Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. It wasn't that as the servant went to the one, the fellow servant that owed him something, it wasn't that he was expected to forgive that debt, but he should have had patience with him to pay because of the patience that the Lord had shown unto him. And yet he did not. Now, there is where it comes in with the heart problem. And so if we expect our Heavenly Father to forgive us for our sins, our transgressions, don't you think that we should have equal compassion upon our fellow man as they do something to us or they owe to us? Now, that does not mean, again, that somebody that comes and they're lazy and doesn't want to pay their debts back, but we do need to have understanding and compassion. And so there is where the wisdom of God comes in. But you can see by this example, and the term starts out there 70 times 7, and that just means we just need to keep forgiving. There's never a limit. The word number 7 in the Word of God is complete, and perfection. And so when we look at that, why we understand that there is never a time that we are to stop forgiving. We are continuing and should always continue to forgive. Now, the amounts, and I'm not going to suggest that I understand exactly how much money or what this is, the 10,000 talents in relationship to the pence that was owed him. There is no comparison. 100 pence versus 10,000 talents. The Lord, the King, the ruler had forgiven 1,000 times more than what he was willing to forgive. And the consequences, we find, he is now in the place of torment, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him, which will never happen. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So if your heart is right, understand that's verse 35 is the answer. We need to recognize that when we go to the Lord, back here to verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Those that have trespassed against us, those that have done something against us, we need to be willing to forgive them. Now, again, I'm not saying that you just write. I have been in business for many, many years, and there are many times that people have not paid. Now, do I hold a grudge against them? No, I don't. They should have paid me. I have done the work. They were responsible to pay me. But do I shun them? Do I look the other way? Do I badmouth them, in some manner? No. They're going to have to deal with that themselves. And I just ask that the Lord give me the patience. I don't know what the reason that they chose not to pay. It wasn't because the work was not done correctly. They just chose not to. Maybe something happened, a medical problem or something took place that all of a sudden they didn't have the money to pay. In most cases, the patience should be that, yes, you pay me what you can, when you can. I don't care how small the amount is, but let's get this debt taken care of. And that is something that is expected. If that was done by this servant here, The Lord would not have had a problem with him. He said, I understand. I've got a gracious Lord myself. So please, when you can, take care of it. And so, but are you getting the connection? How do we expect our Heavenly Father to forgive us when we're not willing to forgive our fellow man? See, that's all on that same line, all on that same page. And so you think about that. Think about that when you trespass against your Lord, which we do every day. When we trespass against Him, and yet we call upon Him to please forgive us, so we have fellowship with Him, so we have the opportunity of His joy and wisdom and knowledge and all those things. And yet then when a brother or sister comes and they have harmed us in some way, we will not forgive them. We will not forgive the debt that they owe in some manner. And so it's all in that connection. And the answer right there is in that 35th verse of chapter 18. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. So whatever you do to your fellow man, expect the Father to match that. So if you want God's wrath against you, and I'm talking about a born-again believer here, and, well, He's not going to cast you to hell, no, because you're born again. Here we're talking about fellowship. And that's the same thing with this prayer. This prayer here is for a believer. This prayer is not for a lost person. This prayer is for a believer, and we need to understand that and enjoy that. Each and every day, it's such a joy to walk with the Lord Jesus. But with that, it's not just a relationship with Him. It's a relationship that we must have with our brothers and sisters in the Lord as well. And so wonderful study there. But that's back in Matthew chapter 18, begins with verse 21 through 34. And then 35 is really the answer there. And so I have one other verse of Scripture that we'll look at that maybe we should have read earlier, but I think it still is in place here, and that's in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, when we ask our Father to forgive us, it's only for Christ's sake that He does, only because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason that we have the opportunity of forgiveness, of salvation, and also to have the power. Now that's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The part above that is just as wonderful. Verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. See, we've talked about that salvation. We've talked about being sealed. Well, right there is the confirmation. See, that's not something that I have dreamed up or that we just believe ourselves. This is something that is real. And so understand that the joy is here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then we come to verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And you'll find that again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 through 32. Wonderful verses of Scripture for us to know and to understand and to live by. You see, there's an awful lot in these few verses here, isn't there? Because we've spent several weeks now studying and enjoying these verses of Scripture. We move on now to verse 13. Another request that we have, not only forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, we've really covered that well, and now lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lead us not into temptation. David's prayer is very similar to this. And let's go back to Psalms 141. Psalms 141. I hope that you know your Bible and study your Bible. And I hope these verses of Scripture that I'm giving you will give you an opportunity to open your Bible up and do a little bit of studying on a regular basis to enjoy it. Psalms 141, verse 4. Incline not my heart, this is David, to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let me not have a part of their evilness. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Lord, please protect me. Keep me away from those things. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And so please, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an exalt oil, excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities or in adversity. But that verse there, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips, incline not my heart to any evil thing. That should be our prayer. And that's the same thing that we're talking about back here, and that was David in Psalms 141, verse 4. That's the same thing that we're looking at here in Matthew. Lead us not into temptation. Temptation means affliction or trial. Anything that will test our virtue is the definition of that. Anything that will test our virtue. We could say, Father, please, don't try us. Knowing our weakness, knowing we are of no value, we are dust of the earth, do not put us into a severe test, is the request that this Scripture is telling us. Please, Lord. Now, there are many tests we go through that do strengthen us. They're not to a pass or fail test. It is a matter of learning and strengthening us. We need to understand that God controls the tempter to the point that he can deliver us from being tempted if we pray, if we have faith in his deliverance. That does not mean that we're not going to face trials and tribulation and have tests, because many of them not seeming to be good when we're going through them, but they are, because it is a growing time, a strengthening time. A couple verses of Scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So you see, there is an opportunity God has given us. So when the temptation comes, know that our God will never give us more than we can take, more than we can handle. And so please look back through these, and we'll begin here next time. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?